The Geopolitics and Empire podcast is joined by the award-winning and best-selling investigative author Edwin Black. He has written about the connections between American eugenics, American industry, Nazi Germany, and the Holocaust. Mr. Black believes the eugenics movement has come back to life in a way as a new science he calls eugenics. Thanks for coming on with us, Mr. Black.
And thank you for having me.
Now, you've talked about this over the past few years, and you recently gave a series of talks in Mexico, where in a Q&A session, you commented on this Chinese dystopian social credit system, which I think you call eugenics. The COVID-19 situation also, for me, kind of evokes these themes of eugenics and totalitarianism, because we have the entire planet locked down under curfew. We have travel restrictions based on health certificates that have been proposed. Together with this invasive contact tracing apps.
You mean health passports?
Okay. Yes, exactly. And
so that would be an identification of the individual on what his deemed status was as he moved about.
Mm-hmm. And then yes. You can tell us a bit about that. And many of the actors involved now with these systems seem to be some of the same actors involved in the movement, the eugenics movement that worked with the Nazi regime a century ago, as you detail in your book. We've got the Rockefeller Foundation and IBM, and together with their modern counterparts, Google and Microsoft. And I also believe we're beginning to see signs of this beyond China. Americans are having social media accounts terminated. My viral interview with Francis Boyle discussing the possibility of COVID-19 leaking from the Wuhan lab was promptly deleted by YouTube. Some people have even been blacklisted from travel apps such as Uber and Airbnb, even financial platforms. And so you call this the algorithm ghetto. It's quite frightening. Few people are discussing it. And given your insight into our eugenics past, in the short time that we have with you, could you break down for us this eugenics, cashless society, and the algorithm ghetto?
Well, you've put a lot into your question, and it's understandable because there's a lot going on that pushed up against you and the world prior to your question. Now, I did write about this. I believe the book you're referring to is my book, War Against the Weak, which is available in 190 countries, including Kazakhstan. Do you have Amazon in Kazakhstan?
Yes, we do.
Okay, it's available in Kazakhstan. So I actually dealt with this on my own show, The Edwin Black Show, in one of the early episodes, how the COVID-19 was leading to a dramatic erosion of our personal liberties. So there's a lot to unpack. First of all, the goal of the eugenics movement in the United States in the first three decades of the 20th century was to create a white, blonde, blue-eyed Aryan or Nordic individual who would have dominance over all other humans on Earth, and indeed would be deemed the only one entitled to live and propagate. The others were to be segregated, terminated, executed, subjugated, and that was going to be the master race. This was transmogrified into Nazi Germany that studied our system. And the whole idea of what we were doing in the United States in terms of forced surgical sterilization, medical concentration camps called sanitariums, this artificial intelligence testing, the designation of individuals as subhuman, all of this was replicated and amplified in Nazi Germany at a tremendous velocity and ferocity that resulted in the Holocaust and the mass murder and subjugation of millions of Europeans. We are as I said in my book and many of my lectures, Newgenics is confronting the world now. And Newgenics will create a master race or an enriched race or an ennobled race based not on racial dogma and national creed, but on corporate worth or corporate value. Or you could substitute in the governmental ruling class worth or government ruling class value. That is being done right now in China with the social credit system, in which tens of thousands, indeed hundreds of thousands of individuals are being constantly rated and re-rated by who they talk to, what they do, what they say, what they think, what they post, based on facial recognition on this massive Skynet system where everyone is under constant observation. I say Skynet not because we're talking about the movie that you wanted to see, Terminator, but that is what it's called. And it works on every street, and even in some cases inside many buildings. It links up your face rec to your social media, to all your commercial activity, your political activity. Based on that, you will be allowed to buy a bus ticket, allowed to buy a train ticket, a plane ticket, a better car, or if you consort with, associate with, communicate with someone who has a low ranking, who's considered not in good standing with the government, you'll have your own social credit ranking lowered, even if that's your brother or your sister. Think of the credit card system and the credit system we have in the United States. It's all financially based. In the United States, we have credit bureaus, you have credit cards, you can, they don't care what kind of a person you are, as long as you have the green. That's not the case in China, which is a totalitarian, party-controlled society. And now, one of the great dangers that has come to mankind is when this impulse of the Chinese and many others like them, not just in China, there's North Korea, there's part of the United States, which is ranking people, comes into contact and is facilitated by these software programs that can virtually do away with you based on an algorithm. You just said it to us. You said that your YouTube video was taken down. And does that mean that this will be taken down too if we complain about it? Your YouTube video was taken down. You said something else was canceled and taken down. And what this means is the algorithm ghetto will relegate your position from the first row to the fourth balcony in the rear. No one will see you. You may not see anyone else. And so you'll be on the rooftops screaming at the top of your voice, and no one will hear you. Your tweets will be zombied. Your Facebook will be zombied. Your YouTubes will be zombied. And you don't need to wait for a knock at the door. In fact, your problem is there probably won't be a knock at the door. No one will be knocking because you will be driven into a non-entity. If you combine this with the cashless society, it means that even for money, you won't be able to buy bread. You won't be able to buy milk without permission of the state. We are now running into a hyper 1984 status, and COVID-19 has dramatically boosted it, like several booster rockets. And in a span of 60 to 90 days, or 30 to 90 days, the world is transmogrified into facial recognition, into an invasion of personal health privacy. We have a law in the United States called HIPAA. It means they can't disclose any of your health information. All that's going by the wayside. We have people, we have political agendas where not more than 10 people can gather in a church, but 50 people can gather in a marijuana shop. And people cannot honor their loved ones on Memorial Day in a cemetery, but somehow the protest movement is encouraged and enabled. Don't get together and have life as you know it, but it's okay if you're protesting. The inconsistency of these rules, the arbitrariness of it, the fact that you can go to one of our big homeware stores. There's one here in the United States called Home Depot. I don't know if you have them there, but you can buy wood or lumber, but you can't buy a plant. So none of these things make sense, and they're enforced. So while protesters are not arrested, people trying to have a religious service or give a haircut in the United States are arrested for violating these social distancing rules. Now, that comment had nothing to do with the atrocity that happened to George Floyd, but there are two atrocities going on now in the United States. The one that happened to George Floyd, who was tortured and lynched on national television in a slow-moving execution, and the subsequent trigger of enormous violence that has struck the United States. So we're in much greater danger than we were today than at New Year's. We are in much greater danger tomorrow than we were last week. We're in much greater danger next month than we were last month. And the greatest danger of them all will culminate in the first week of November, when we're probably going to see conduct and actions like you would never believe we would have in the United States.
You mentioned also in your speeches the sort of the end game, RFID, and something interesting. You know, we've heard about all these stories about.
You're ahead of me. I haven't written RFID yet. I'm not. That's one of my next 18 books. But yes, RFID will be the final cog in the wheel, because with RFID, radio frequency identification, people will not only be tracked by their phones, not only be tracked by their face rec, they'll be tracked with either an implant under their skin, and many people have such an implant now, or they'll be tracked with the driver's license that's in their wallet. In other words, they'll be tracked even when they stay home, and not only will they be tracked, but their garbage will be tracked. So if all the food in your refrigerator has an RFID tag, and what you throw out in terms of milk, what you throw out in terms of food, your choice of food, all that stuff will then be thrown into the garbage. There'll be scanners going down the street in the same way that you have scanners going down the street collecting cell phone information and driver's license information. We're not headed to a good time. Why do you ask?
Well, I mean, it's frightening, and just to kind of see the end game, what would it look like? You mentioned the cashless society, the RFID, and if someone's locked out, or if someone, you know, we have someone who's Amish or just rejects this kind of system, I mean, will they literally starve to death? What will it look like for people who don't want to go along with this? And will it be global? Do you see this like going beyond China to, will we experience it in Europe, the US, Latin America?
It'll be global. it will be like various fires, like various trash fires or wildfires. It'll burn in one place, it'll spread to another, burn in another place, spread to another. The burn rates will be unequal. I would say the two leading contenders for the reduction in liberties will be China and the United States. And what will be the end game? You don't want to be here for it.
I mean, is there any positive note? Well, I mean, what do people do? It seems in a way, you know, this, I recall the German pastor's quote who spoke out against Hitler, who said, you know, first they came for this group and then that group and then finally came for me. And it seems today people are just as complacent as the Germans were in the 1930s. I mean, what are we to do?
Well, you want to know if there's hope, right? And, you know, I'm frequently asked that question in that very way. And I say, no, there's no hope. But what there is visual acuity. You can do the best for yourself, for your neighbors, for your family, and for your nation, for the world, by being aware of what you're being asked to do and where you are going. The people in Scandinavia who lined up to get an embedded chip in their in their hand that would allow them to go into their ordinary office building. It'd be a big convenience. And we've got a store here owned by Amazon, and nobody will use any money. There will be no checkout. They've got grimace control. Do you know what that is? Well, there's a little icon in your phone, and it always shows it's watching your facial expressions. So they've got grimace evaluation, grimace control, gesture control, and you'll be under constant scrutiny as you walk in and out, pick up an apple, return the apple, pick up a can of soup with a red label, put it back, pick up another can of soup with a green label, take that can of soup. It'll all be tied into your account. You'll walk out the door with whatever you have. There won't be any such a thing as shoplifting, but what there will be is biolifting of all your biometrics. And so that's being done right now in the name of progress. So the people who are going into that store and are being guinea pigged, the people in Scandinavia who said, please chip my hand because I just think it's cool, cool, cool. The people who are saying, well, first I put a chip into my dog so I wouldn't lose it. Now I'm going to put chip into my daughter or my Alzheimer grandparent so we can track him. You see, the system is always going to start with the most innocuous and understandable applications. Oh, let's just chip the criminals. We won't have to keep them in a prison. We won't have to give them bond. We'll know where they are at all times. But then this is how it grows. And there may be nothing wrong with chipping the criminals. We already have monitors for the criminals. But now they're talking about these types of monitors being applied to regular people so that they will stay 6 feet apart, or they may go or not go where the society wants them. Who's doing this? It's unelected governance. Remember, what is democracy? Democracy is the governed giving consent to the governance, correct? That was born, the concept of democracy was born in the desert when the Israelites left Egypt. And in Leviticus 25:10, it says, go forth and spread liberty throughout the land. that conjured up the idea of equality, that conjured up the idea of liberty, that conjured up the idea of a judiciary, which had not existed until that time, that conjured up the idea of judges, of a system of equal justice. It's all in Leviticus. This took 3,000 years to maturate and was adopted by the United States into something called the American Revolution, and it created democracy. And there have been two impulses. You know, it's just like the universe. The universe is spreading and contracting. So there's always the notion of widening the circle of entitlement to democratic values and systems. You will remember that America had slavery, that that women could not vote, that the landless could not vote. All that has been changed. More people are included. We still have a long way to go. They're not included. Equally. But as we make this progress, as the circle of entitlement expands and more people are enabled, there are other people who want to contract. There are other people who want to dominate. There are other people who basically say, our way is better than your way. And that is the lack of choice and approving of those who govern us. Because when we don't approve who governs us, we no longer have democracy.
I think we've covered a lot. If there's any final thought you have to leave us with, and then as well as let us know where are the best websites for us and listeners to find your work.
Well, I just hope that people will understand that our past has been tense, our present is currently tense, but we cannot self-determine our future unless we are aware of our past. And for most people, there is so much falsity in the world, so much false narrative. The loudest voice is often the most heard and penetrated voice. People don't have the knowledge to understand where the road is going. You know, in our world today, there's unprecedented information, but very little knowledge. And when you have Wikipedia that can change history at a moment's notice, when you have YouTubes and algorithm ghettos, which can constrict the narrative, when you even have a word called narrative, even the word narrative, when we're dealing with historical fact in context, we all need to worry. If you want to read some of my books, you can go to edwinblack.com. My books are there. You can buy them in 190 countries, including Kazakhstan and Croatia and Mexico and all the places where you've been. And you can get them at Amazon. And I also have a television show on Zoom now called The Edwin Black Show. And you can go to theedwinblackshow.com. You can sign up for our alerts. I think you have done that. And thank you very much for having me. I hope the next time we talk, the circumstances will be better. But I know that won't be the case.
Yeah, I would hope so too. And regarding your show, theedwinblackshow.com, sometimes I think myself and other people, because of the scheduling, can't catch it live. But I think you're putting the archives on YouTube and possibly elsewhere. And so I would encourage listeners to support your work. Your books are amazing. So people can go get them at edwinblack.com. And also to follow your Twitter, Edwin Black Book at Twitter. And thank you for your brave and important work and for being with us on Geopolitics and Empire.
And thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this Geopolitics and Empire podcast and interview. I would like to remind you that our website is geopoliticsandempire.com, and you can sign up for our mailing list that goes out each weekend with the latest podcast and a long collection of important news headlines. It's good to sign up for the newsletter in case we experience censorship and deplatforming. You can help the Geopolitics and Empire podcast by subscribing to and interacting with all of our channels such as YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Gab, Minds, and Steemit. You can also help us by leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcast platforms such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, Spreaker, and so on. Finally, if you value our work and our mission and would like to see us continue interviewing experts from across the political spectrum, please consider leaving a one-time donation via PayPal or Bitcoin, or becoming a regular monthly supporter on our Patreon. All the links can be found on geopoliticsandempire.com. Thanks for listening.